Hirsch has a thought. We talk about Nisim. Chanukah was a Nes, which was Nikwil Adaris, that we remember the Nes. And Chanukah is unique amongst many halachas, that Chanukah Purim and the Dal Kosher, there's a lot of Pesum and Nisa. Chazal, but after one of them in Farsim and Nes. Many Dorbonans, but these are the Inyan Psumanisa. Psumanisa comes with some fascinating halachas. A person normally doesn't have any money, he's potter. A person doesn't have money for tefillin, he's potter from tefillin. Sell your clothing, sell your house. No, he's not going to sell his clothing or his house to be able to have tefillin. Psumanisa, the person doesn't have money for Neres Chanukah, he has to sell the shirt off his back to be able to get money to buy the oil for the Pesumim. It's a Pesuminisa. It's a Pesuminisa. Chazal felt was very significant. To sell the shirt off my back to do this mitzvah. It applies to Neres Chanukah, applies to Pesuminisa by the Megillah, and it applies to Pesuminisa for the Dalet Kosher. But we're focusing on Chanukah, that this Nes is so significant, the Chazal B'davka wanted us to do that. Why is that? If you're looking at the concept of the word Nes, so the idea of a Nes, what exactly the idea of a Nes is, so Hirsch raises the Ha'ara that the word Nes, we say in davening, V'so Nes l'kabetz gol yoseinu. So what is the word Nes over there? It means a banner. It means a flag. It means when we're traveling, you gather behind the banner and you all travel together. The Russian is going to raise up this banner, as it were, to call us back to Eretz Yisrael. He's my banner. Doesn't mean he's my miracle. The Russian is our miracle. Doesn't mean a miracle. It means a banner, a flag. So what's the shaykhus between the usage of the word Nes being a banner and the usage of the word Nes being a miracle? A person gets onto the highway and he's traveling. So you get onto the highway, so there's always signposts, there's directions that tell you make sure that you get onto the correct road, etc. You travel about a mile or so, and there's a sign with the name of the road. What's that for? That's for, because in case you're on the wrong road, get off now, you know? In case you didn't realize that you're on the right road. I've had that experience, you know, sometimes you're really very tired. I get in the car, traveling to Cleveland, I end up going up towards, and then 95, going, why am I in the here? I should be in the 270, you know? So it's good, I notice, oh, 95 north, really? Okay. So you need that sign to make sure that you know you're on the right path. So Hirsch looks at the idea of a Nes. The Nes is a signpost to tell us we're going in the right direction. And Nes is a signpost to give us direction. Kleist was at a juncture where they had some element of confusion, and they needed something to give them a sign to give them direction of where to go. And that's the moment the Rishon sends a Nes. This Nes and this need for this juncture which Kleist lived at that moment, and this signpost which they received was so important that it was not only for that generation, but it was Nikvul Adaris. So it's obviously something which is important enough for us to figure out what exactly was the message of this Nes that Kleisel needed, and how is it relevant to us. The Bach, the beginning of Hilchos Chanukah, the Bach talks about the idea of the Nes of Chanukah, and he says that Kleisel had the Beis HaMikdash. We lost the Beis HaMikdash when the Yavanim, when the beginning of the Tekufa, when Yavan took over, they threw the Yidden out of the Beis HaMikdash. They were Matamba the Mikdash. They used it for Avodah Zarah. And eventually, we got the Beis HaMikdash back, and we got the Avodah back. So we lost the Avodah. The Golus which took place wasn't the Golus that we left Eretz Yisrael. It's unique amongst the Arba Golius. Bavel took Kleisel out of Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. From there, they went to Paras. Edom destroys the second Beis HaMikdash and sends Kleisel into Golos. Edom were spread out all over the world. There was a remnant left in Eretz Yisrael. Golos Yavan is unique that we were in Eretz Yisrael. We didn't leave Eretz Yisrael. The Golos was the lack of the Avodah. The Kleisel lost the Beis HaMikdash. And whatever that represented to Klai, so that was lost. That was the Golus. Also unique about Golus Yavin is that there's a concept called Mis Yavnim. We don't find anywhere that there's a concept called Mis Bablim, or Mis Parsim, or Mis Admim. Right? But there are Mis Yavnim. There's members of Klai, which became Yavonim Nix. We don't find anywhere that the members of Klai became Edom Nix, Mis Admim. We don't find such a musik, but you find a musik of Mis Yavnim. So that was part of the goal, is that there's a musik that Klai Yisrael should become a Mis Yavim. That Klai Yisrael should, remember, Klai Yisrael should, as it were, leave Klai Yisrael and become a Yavanik. That was the goal. But Hagufa, we have to understand, why was this goal a goal of Mis Yavnim, as opposed to any of the other Golias, which was, there was no such concept. So the Bach says that what Klai Yisrael was lacking in their avoda, which we know in general, every time there's a Golus, what happens is that Klai Yisrael has some chesaron, and the Bereshit creates a physical reality which mirrors the spiritual chesaron which is inside of them. The chesaron they had was a lack of Mesiras Nefesh, she says. Klai Yisrael was lacking Mesiras Nefesh for the avoda. So the Bereshit says, you know what? You're not willing to be Moser Nefesh for the avoda. You're not going to have the avoda. You're willing to be Moser Nefesh for the avoda, which the Yehuda Maccabee, the Chashmonoyim, that they were Moser Nefesh to get the avoda back. Now you get the avoda back. Right? Very simple. You're Moser Nefesh. You lost it because of the lack of Mesiras Nefesh. You gained it because of Mesiras Nefesh. That's what the Bach says. What is Mesiras Nefesh? So we're used to the simple understanding of Mesiras Nefesh. A person's willing to die for their mitzvahs. You love a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Beyond that, and you're going to give up your life, Al Kiddush Hashem, if necessary. Mesiras Nefesh. There's a Gemara in Brachos, which Gemara says clearly Mesiras Nefesh. You know, and then I once heard from somebody who says, you know, we throw on the word Mesiras Nefesh. Person has Mesiras Nefesh for terror. Mesiras Nefesh means Mesiras Nefesh. Fill note does Nefeshah Mehechatesi. I give up. I only eat one bagel for breakfast. Oh, Mesiras Nefesh for terror, right? You know, Mehechatesi. That's a valid Mesiras Nefesh. I said it's a Gemara in Brachos. Gemara in Brachos, Dafchav. The Morris says there was a conversation between two Amoroyim, and they want to know why was it that in the earlier generations of the Amoroyim, Nisim happened. In our generation, Nisim don't happen anymore. So he answered back, because in the earlier generations, they were Masir Nafshayu Al Kiddush Hashem. And we're not Masir Nafshayu Al Kiddush Hashem. He says, what do you mean? So Morris says a story with Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda one time was walking down the street, and he saw a woman who he thought was a Jewish woman wearing a garment which he felt was broadcasting interest into her, a very bright red, whatever it was, type of garment. And he felt it was improper for a Jewish woman to wear that. So he went and grabbed the garment off of her. He ripped it off of her. She was still sneezing, so ripped it off of her. Right? It turned out that she was a Roman matron, and she charged him 400 zuz. Now, you just get a musik, but 400 zuz means that the shear of a person being able to live for a year for his food, clothing, and shelter was 200 zuz. Right, so 400 zuz was one person's parnasa for 2 years, all of his needs. And that's how much it cost them for this action. He saw an avera, and he says, we can't live with averas like this. And he did what he had to do, not worrying about the consequences. He was meister nefesh, at the Gemara. So meister nefesh doesn't necessarily mean he wasn't threatening his life, he wasn't in danger, he didn't kill himself like Kiddush Hashem, but he was meister nefesh. He committed himself to do something above and beyond what we normally would do, and that's called meister nefesh. So that's called meister nefesh. There's a saying which is attributed to various different individuals the saying goes, if a person has nothing to die for, then they have nothing to live for. A person has nothing to die for, a person has nothing to live for. If there's nothing more valuable than you, if life is just about eating, you're not going to die for eating. I can just die for that chocolate cake. There's such a phrase, but ask the person, really? No, he doesn't really mean it, obviously, Some people die from the chocolate cake, the cholesterol, but you're not, the person says, I'm willing to waste an effort to get that chocolate cake, The Gemara says there was a person who was involved with women. You know, the Gemara says that he went all the way across the seas, etc. He was moisir nefesh. I don't know, okay, but the average person, that's not what he's grappling with, right? The purpose in life is, you know, no. If a person, if there's something in life which is more valuable, that you believe in something, you have something you believe in, so you have a reason to live. If at the end of the day you're not willing to give up your life for that, what you're saying is that you're the most important thing. So what are you living for? You're for yourself. Why are you living for yourself? Like, so give me a reason to live. This question of this, such a concept. So Rav Vobel talks about this. I learned this with the boys the Ali Shur Shir last week. Rav Vobel has a beautiful piece where he talks about the concept of the neshama being called kavod. The man yizmercha chavoid v'lo yidaim, Hashem elokai lo lamadeka. The man, in order that the kavod should be mezamer to you, should sing to you. Who's the kavod? So the Forshim say it's referring to the neshama. The neshama is referred to as kavod. Ura kavodi, ura hanevel v'chiner ha'ira shachar. My kavod should awaken. I think Rav Miller has his English book, Awake My Glory, right? Ura kavodi. What does it mean, my glory? He's Balgai, but it means my neshama should awaken, Chazal said. So it's fair to ask, why should we call the neshama kavod? Why is the neshama called kavod? The process of understanding the value of something. If I ask you, is this item valuable? There always has to be a second half to the equation. For what? I ask you, are apples valuable? The answer is, for eating, yes. For building materials, they're pretty schwach. I can't answer if they're valuable or not unless I have a criteria against which to measure them. Kavod, we spoke about this multiple times, that kavod, Hirsch connects the idea of kavod to the word kaved, which means I stop and I recognize the significance which is here, the weightiness which is here, the gravitas which is here, the gravity. And all of these words, it's a heavy issue. It means it's significant. Kavod is the act of defining significance in something. The neshama's power is to give a definition of what's important, what's significant, what's valuable. But since I cannot evaluate anything and give it a value, unless I'm knowing against for what, I'm going to have to come up with a criteria. So the neshama comes up with the ultimate criteria. And for that reason, it's called kavod, because it gives us a hechatimsa to measure weightiness, importance, significance, gravity, heavy, etc. But without having something which can do that, at the end of the day, why are we living? What's the purpose of life? Without having a function, a purpose, a goal, a direction. So the neshama comes along and says, you know what? There is a function, a purpose, a goal, a direction. He says, hey, look, look, he says, there's a goal, there's a Mesillas Yesharim Perek Aleph. Adam is never at least anagal Hashem, lohonos b'ziv shkinosoi. The neshama is what tells us that that's what it's all about. The neshama tells us that there's going to be mechama lefon of la'achar. You're going to have challenges in front of you and behind you. No matter where you go, you're going to have these challenges. And against that criteria of what the goal is, you should measure how important this action is or isn't. You will decide whether you're willing to be moser nefesh for something, how important it is to you, whether you're willing, quote unquote, to die for it, or to be uncomfortable for it, or go outside of your comfort zone for it, because it's valuable to you. but you have to have a system which allows you to measure value. Klal Yisrael had the void of the Beis HaMikdash, about the Bach says. They had the void of the Beis HaMikdash. What is the criteria which you, how do you pay for something? How do you measure its value? How much are you willing to pay for it? Well, paying for it doesn't necessarily have to mean with money. Probably in most cases it doesn't mean money. It means how much effort you're willing to put into it. How much you're willing to go out, be moisir nefesh for it. You had the void of the Beis HaMikdash. Are you willing to, are you valuing the void of the Beis HaMikdash? Are you understanding the value of what's happening? Well, if you're willing to be moisir nefesh for it, means you're valuing it properly. You understand the value of what's happening. And if you're not willing to be moisir nefesh for it, what you're saying is it's not valuable to you. The Rosh says, I'm sorry, you cannot be oivid a Kadosh Baruch Hu without understanding the value of what you're doing. A person comes to the Beis HaMikdash and he's a makir of a korban. Excuse me, you're like slaughtering animals. What are you doing? And then you're burning them on the Mizbeach. You know, like, what are you doing? I'm taking life. Why am I destroying life over here? I'm not destroying life. I'm using this as a way to understand that this, what we're doing over here, is so important that we would give up our lives, as it were, for it, but we use this animal, the Ramban says, to represent that action. I don't believe in that. It's not that important to me. I'm not willing to do much of an effort for this. So Rishon says, you know what? Excuse me, please leave. I don't want you in the Beis HaMikdash. If you don't understand the value of what it means, why we're here, and that what we're doing over here, that the ability to connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu is important, not important enough to you, to go outside of your comfort zone for it, which is the simplest act of Mesiras Nefesh, so then what are you doing in Beis HaMikdash? You don't get the whole purpose. You can't have Avodah. Klal Yisrael is Mesir Nefesh for the Avodah. They get the Avodah back. I'm going to suggest, it would seem to me that is correct, that Klal Yisrael was a Mesir Nefesh for the Avodah. They got the Avodah of the Beis HaMikdash back. So, they won the war, they have the Beis HaMikdash back, and they do it. So, El Nisim, we talk about Rabbi Meir Ma'atim, Tzmeim Biyat Taharim, Rishon Biyat Tzadikim. We talk about they fought the war and they were able to get, they went to the Beis HaMikdash and they did the void of the Beis HaMikdash. Nothing about unique Neiris lasting for 8 days, etc., etc., etc. It's not there. Because that really was the issue. That was the Golus, and this is the end of the Golus. What was the purpose of the Nais of the Neiris? And that before she already asked the Kasha, because Alpi Halacha, there was no need for the Nais of the Neiris. Tumah Hutra Betzibra, they could use the oil which is Tameh. So what was the purpose of the Nais of the Neiris? So Rabbi Avigdor Miller Zatzal, heard a shiur from him on tape, he said an approach. I'm going to share that approach with you. I'm going to tell you a different approach. I think it's good to hear his approach also. The Ben Yonah in Shar Yitshuva and Shar Aleph goes through the Ikrei Yitshuva. So the Ikrei Yitshuva, we understand that there's two or three Ikrei Yitshuva. The Ben Yonah in the Shar Aleph lists 20 Ikrei Yitshuva. So he also understands that there are two or three basic ones. The other ones, which are like the next Madrega, what's important. One of them he says is Tefillah. That one of the Ikrei Yitshuva is davening. What are you davening for? So let's imagine that you had a friend, close relationship, and the friend that does something which indicates that he doesn't really care about you. He hurt you in a way which indicates not just that, you know, he hurt you, it just undermined the whole trust of the relationship. He wasn't nice to you in a bad way. He comes, he feels apologetic, he feels horrible, he apologizes. You say, what? I'm moichel you. Right? Does that mean that the friendship is reinstated? Do you trust him? Do you feel close to him? Do you feel that you can trust him with your secrets? Do you feel that connection to your neshamas? No. That's been damaged. That damage is there. I have no tainus in you. I'm not upset at you. I moved on with life. But the fact is that the relationship has been damaged, and it's very hard to get that back. Klal Yisrael has a unique, special relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. We do an aveiras at the Ben Yard. So you know what happens? You do an aveira. But besides doing an aveira, you damage the relationship. So Tovah the Melech says, Tzalev Tzahar Brali Elokim Ruch Nochon Chadesh B'Kribi. In Kapitel Nunalev, which is the Kapitel of Tshuva, right? David HaMelech says, I want to go, the Rosh should purify me. And then he says, Hashiva li sason yishecha. So to Rebbeinu Yoyna, what he's asking for is, Rosh Hashem, I know that I got to the point where you're moichel me for the Aveira. But I don't want that. I want that we should go back to the warm, fuzzy relationship of Abba that you had for me beforehand. You should trust me again. We should go back to the warmth of the connection which we had before. That's the tefillah of Dr. Ben Yarda. Klal Yisrael does the chet and they lose the avodah. They're moshe nefesh, they get the avodah back. They come back to the Beis HaMikdash. Rosh Hashanah says, fine, you got a mitzvah, there's a mitzvah in the Tariq mitzvahs. Do your mitzvahs in the Mikdash. The Mikdash is just about doing mitzvahs. The Mikdash is where Klal Yisrael and Klal Yisrael and Kodesh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael hug each other. There's Nisim, that you see that there's the Ner Maravi. There's the by station, there was Urim Batumi, and there was Nisim Gluyim. It's a market where Kodesh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael hug. They kiss. There's Ava there. Klal Yisrael says, I'm not sure the Rosh Hashanah is going to give me back that Ava. I've done such a terrible thing that the Rosh Hashanah felt I had to lose Mikdash and let the Yevonim into the Mikdash. Okay, you got your mitzvah back, but is there going to be that warmth again? And they light a menorah. And it lasts for one day. It lasts for 2 days. It lasts for 3 days. What's the Rosh Hashanah saying? We're back into that warm embrace that we were before. It wasn't just that you got your mitzvah back. You got your embrace back. The Rosh Hashanah was going to make a nes for you. To show how much he's interested in you. He cares about you. 1 day, 2 days, 3 days. Klal Yisrael goes, he says, Klal Yisrael went wild with simcha. That's why we're kaveya the nes. That's what he suggested. I want to suggest a different lakuta. Klal Yisrael was moiser nefesh to get the avodah back at the Bach, and that's why they got the avodah back. Did Klal Yisrael understand that the nakuda they were missing was a mesiras nefesh? Did they understand that that was the nakuda? They're on the road. They're traveling. Do they realize that they're on the right road? That this is the nekuda, they need to be mechazik, because this is where the deficiency was. This is where the issue was. Lav dafka. The Rosh Hashanah says, I'm going to send you a nes. I'm going to send you a signpost, Dr. Hirsch. I'm going to send you a weight, I'm going to send you on the right road. This is 95 north, it's not 270 west. You're on the right road. There's a physical reality of the fuel, and it's limited. And the Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam, the ore, he overpowers that, and it's not limited by anything. It goes beyond its limits. That's Mesiras Nefesh. The way we make our value judgment, the Neshama is covered, it makes the value judgment of what's covered, what's important. What's kaved, what's important, is by how much it's willing to express itself in deed, in action, in this, going beyond my comfort level. And we do it. We do it all the time. People get up for davening. You know, some people get very easy to get up for davening. Some people don't easy to get up for davening. You got up for davening anyway. You're here. What are you doing with that? Are you happy that it was difficult? Rebbe Yonah uses a lashon Shar Gimel. He says, a person who truly loves his master appreciates the opportunities to show how much he loves him. The harder it is, the more you get to show how important it is to you. The easy ones don't show that it's important to you. The hard ones show us, so you have to appreciate the difficulty. A person comes to Seder, it's hard to sit and learn. And he pushes himself and he sits and learns. Meanwhile, he kvetches, it's so hard. you miss the point. Adarabba, that's exactly where you get to show how important it is to you. The Russian gave you a way to be mechanich yourself. Let the neshama talk to your goof and say, here's a chayin goof. This is important. Where do you see that when you're moshe nefesh? Moshe nefesh means beyond your comfort level. Those are the opportunities where you're mechazik yourself and you're mechanich yourself. That this is important to me. This is my value judgment. The Yevonim were philosophers. The Yevonim were seeking purpose. They asked why. The Bavlim didn't ask why. The Bavlim says, power is important to me. I enjoy killing people. No, it doesn't excite a Jew. Paras is taiva. Doesn't excite a Jew. You got a few people fall in, you know, the mice, you know, Achashverosh, speak to them, it's not a good idea. They do tshuva, good. Vaitigagan. Mishyavnim. And the Shema of Christ, with the hair, that there's a purpose, there's a tachlis, there's a why, there's a what it's about. And the guys, the Greek is saying, taka, what is it about? It speaks to the neshama of a yid. But they got verkrumped in the why. Because at the end of the day, after everything they asked, all of their philosophy, the soif of our kol nishma, it's about mankind. It's not about the neshama. Kleist was verkrumped. Their moisture and nefesh, as it were. They focused on a why to the point that they were willing to do it, difficult things. But for what? At the end of the day, it's about human beings. The Greek Getchkas were human beings with all of the kastroiness of human beings. It's such a geshmak way to fan for all your averas. What do you want from me? The Getchkas also known as Elbazach. You know, what's the status from here? Right? They're jealous and they fight and they detive and I'll go to the Zach and you know it's gewaldic and those are the tachlis. Shkoyach. Where's the Mesiras Nefesh? Where it's difficult. I don't want to do that, but I do it anyway. Kleist overcame the Nakuda of Misyavein, but the hearing the Nakuda of Kovet of the Neshama. The Nereshem Nishmas Odom, that they needed that nes, they needed that clarity, that signpost from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Herzachayin, mein kind, dos in the Tachlis. The Tachlis is that the Nishmas Odom, the spirit, should overcome the physical challenges. Lamaisa, we do it, we do it all the time. We have relationships which are not comfortable. Person bothers me sometimes, so I control myself. Because I don't want to hurt him, but I don't enjoy it. That moment, you're missing the point. The person says, you're sensitive, you're careful of somebody else's feelings. That's a mitzvah. That's, you're living for a higher purpose. You want to be careful of somebody else. Appreciate that opportunity to express that you have a greater value than just whatever, that's just you and just the goof. Doing a mitzvah is not easy. Exactly. That you get an opportunity to show that the Benayana, the general wants to show he's willing to go out and fight with all of his pekaya to show how much he cares about his master, about his melech. That's his opportunity to show how important it is to you. Each time you're doing that, you're sending a message to yourself, to your goof. As a kind goof, listen to me. This is important. So appreciate that moment because it's good to be mechanic, your goof. We need to be mechanic, our goof. We need to teach our goof what's important, what's unimportant. We need to bang it into the goof once and twice and 10 times, 1,000 times. This is important. This is important. And actually the goof says, oh, really? I didn't realize that. Oh, shkoyach. It finally cops after a while, you know. And then the goof is talking, he's Kaddish. Because finally gets the idea, but it takes a lot of time. The Yeruchim Rite uses a Lashon, we call it Avaras Kumas. He says, when you want to make a strong mark in something, it says you put the pen in it once, and then you do it a second time, and a third time, and a fourth time, in the same spot, again and again and again. So finally leaves a real Roshim, it absorbs into the paper. You want to take the message of the neshama into the goof. You do it once and twice and 100 times. You bang it into the goof. Eventually it sinks in. That there's a different purpose. There's a different goal. There's a different tachlis. There's something to live for. There's something which is so important that you're willing to die for it. It means give up what your comfort is. That's why now you know why you're living. Klai Yisrael missed that message, and Klai Yisrael lost it. Klai Yisrael, at that moment, and Klai Yisrael lost it, the Bereshit says, you need to get this message, and Klai Yisrael Bereshit got the message. It was so important that Chazal were Kavei L'Doris. The Pesum and Nisim, we have to refer some, the signpost, Dr. Versh, the message. What is it about? Where are you going? Understand you're doing it anyway. Just understand why you're doing it. Understand how valuable it is what you're doing. Enjoy the fact that it's difficult. Give me one. We're kvetchers. We like to kvetch. We do. We kvetch them, we kvetch them, we kvetch them, we kvetch. You know? I came here when I first came to yeshiva. It's now it's over 18 years ago. So, you know, coming from Tel Yeshiva to here, it's a long journey, you know. It takes 6 hours to drive, but it's a long journey. It's thousands of miles away, you know. It takes 6 hours to drive, but it's thousands of miles away, you know. So I went back for Sukkot. I came for Elul. I was here for Elul. You know, I'm picturing, you know, Elul and Tells, and I'm picturing Elul here and saying, what am I doing here? Right? Okay, good. So I go back for Sukkot to Cleveland. I visit by the Sheba Reb Chaim. He's a Gaitos. He asked, how's it going? So now, Baruch Hashem, my Rebbe asked how it's going. I get a chance to kvetch. So I started telling him all my kvetches. This is nishgut, those are nishgut, that's nishgut, and those are nishgut. You know, after about three sentences, he says, is it 80% good? I said, yeah. He says, you don't get better than 80% in life. No, was lernt man? You're learning gittin? Man, and that was the end of the conversation. The kvetch part was ended. We kvetch. Imagine if I could convince you that the tachas in life is to be a positive person. That's the goal in life. So every single difficulty which you're given is a hechatimsa to mechanic yourself in the importance of being positive. That's why the Russia put you in this world. That they see the toiv and the bria. They see the toiv of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So everything which is difficult is a hechatimsa ba'alma to help you be mechanic yourself about toiv. So will I kvetch about it? I don't know. It's a gemalde hechatimsa. The harder it is, the better it is. It didn't go the way I wanted it to. Nothing goes the way you want it to. Believe me, I've been afraid to. I tell you, it doesn't work like that. Okay. No, I'm a question. I don't know. We're doing it anyway. That's my point. We're doing the right things anyway. We're doing the things. Just we're kvetching about them the whole way long. We're missing the point. We should be with simcha about them the whole way long. Because they're the opportunities to be mechanic ourselves of what's important in our lives. So davening is hard. I'm asking davening is hard. It's getting for davening for bochur is very hard. Right? Some are easier, some are harder. But you know, okay. Davening, do you really have a feel of davening? 20-year bochur has a feel in davening? Yechidim. Lord Lenin, he's sitting with Tzoros, he understands the value of Tzoros. He's sitting with the simcha of overcoming. Does he really get a davening? I'm a davening. I wish davening wasn't so long. Why the davening so long? Why can't I daven quicker? Why? Catch, 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 catch. Maybe the reason why it is, it's an opportunity to stop and think, you know, maybe there's something that I don't understand. Let me understand. Let me grow into it. Help me grow. Challenge me. It's an opportunity for understanding the message. Obviously, it must be important. Learning isn't easy. Sitting for 4 hours isn't easy. I can't sit for 4 hours straight. There's certain people, you know, they sit like they're, you know, there's the glue people. They can glue to the seats. There's the Mexican jumping beans, you know, you can't sit straight. Okay. So how long could you sit for? Not easy. It's so hard. Leave that. It's so hard at the door. It's my opportunity to show that I'm learning that something is important to me. And I want to be mechanic myself and be mechazik myself and teach myself and absorb again and again and again. You know what? I'm creating value judgments of what's important in life. That there's something greater than this world. There's an Olam Haba. Okay. The final goal I had Maisa, which I had this Maisa, just it's almost not shaykh not to say what is Maisa. The Maisa with the Chofetz Chaim. Chofetz Chaim had an Edom, Rav Hirsch Levinson. Rav Hirsch was a tzaddik, a kaddish v'torah, he was a Talmid Chacham Muflig. He was all to the Chofetz Chaim like a ben, mamash, he loved him tremendously. Rav Hirsch was Nifter Young. He was a Raman. He was a Raman in Radin. He was Nifter Young. Chofetz Chaim had tremendous pain from the, you know, Rav Hirsch was Nifter. He had tremendous pain from it. Soif Hashana, you know, the end of the yeshiva year, they're cheshbining out for the coming year. The Maisa, he's gone, and they have to cheshbin out. You know, what's going to happen with the yeshiva? Who's going to take over the shurim, etc.? So they're having a meeting of Chofetz Chaim with other members of the yeshiva. The Chofetz Chaim, says. Eretz Zogin, the Erstem Shir, Eretz Zogin, Tzveiten Shir. The third Shir Rebbe was not well. He was away at the spas for his health. So Reb Pliny is by the spas, and we need somebody to cover for him. Reb Hirsch learned talking in the Sifta the Rikia, and you have to find somebody to cover for him. Ah. And then he went weiter. And Pasha Rebbe stopped for a second. What did you say? The Chofetz Chaim said Reb Hirsch is learning the Sifta the Rikia. With the same tone of voice. The Hirsch is learning at Tells now. He's not available to say Shir. Tells, you know, down the block, there's a place called Tells, you know, a few miles away. So he's learning at Tells. He's not available to say Shir. He's learning at Sabotka. He's not available to say Shir. He's learning at Masifta Durkiya. He's not available to say Shir. But the Chofetz Chaim, Masifta Durkiya is next door. It's here. It's real. It's alive. It's a Metzius. It's not, I believe in Olam Haba. Olam Haba is real. It's the same thing as Tells or Sabotka. He's learning in the mirror right now. He's not available to say shir. We have to find somebody else to say shir for him. Eletoch in Masifta the Rekia. Dr. Fitzgerald's Anis is talking to some shir. How do you get to that madrega? Because you keep teaching yourself, it's not about my physical limitations. Again and again and again and again. And then the body absorbs it. It's talking not about that. Then it becomes real. Chanukah is about the opportunities that we have constantly to make Ruchnius real. So appreciate those opportunities. So use the opportunities. And to be happy, besimcha, for the nes, those signposts in our life, those opportunities which the Baruch Hashem gives us to understand why we live, why we're here, what we're living for, what we're willing to die for, what we're willing to give up our comfort for.